Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Falling in one's sword means to take responsibility for something that has gone wrong, particularly to resign from one's position as a way to acknowledge responsibility for what went wrong. I believe Commissioner Parker and Chairperson Wright should tender their resignations. I'm shocked that the county attorney did not stop the fiasco that happened at the last meeting.
Well, I mean, let's just say I think it's a low probability outcome that Colton Wright and Sam Parker are going to resign their positions, but this is Anna Railing. Yesterday at the forum, the first portion of the Santa Rosa County Committee meeting, County Commission Committee meeting, that's like the agenda review if you want to think of it that way. Thursday will be the regular meeting. And the reason, she was in open forum, okay, so this they can talk about anything they want to talk about. But this is all related to the changes or the way the RFQ was done for the dispatch center. You remember the dispatch center was the one that they had five candidates. And each commissioner was allowed to tally them 1 through 5. And when the votes all came back, the one that the three commissioners had picked Caldwell as their number one, the fourth commissioner had picked it as his number two, and then James Calkins picked it as his number five without any explanation then or since as to why he would give it such a ridiculously low number compared to everybody else, except that. Again, Caldwell is the folks that are working on the medical examiner's office, and the medical examiner's office is being overseen by Dan Schebler. Dan Schebler, the former county administrator, who James Calkins worked to ouster and really, really can't stand and hates and has it in for. So, people around this look at that and think, well, there's no good explanation, so you got to look for bad explanations. And what's the only bad explanation available? Well, he's trying to stick it to Dan Schebler. That's the only reason he would tank his review. Hasn't been able to explain it since. So, then what they did when that happened is they came back after the fact, okay, in two and a half weeks ago Thursday meeting, and added the item to sort of re-rank and basically decide that instead of going with the results of that five cut down to one, that they would deem that actually Caldwell did win and Clemens Rutherford did not win. And that's what they went with. And now what they're doing is looking, and there was, James Calkins made a massive dog and pony show out of how that's unethical and wrong. And we're not done with him making that dog and pony show. But some people in the public believed that that was inappropriate because they were changing the results after the results had been had, even though the process that they had always followed in the past was not followed properly. Because in the past, what they'd always done is you'd cut down to three. And then from those three, you'd pick your top one. And there was a whole process that former Commissioner Lane Lynchard developed, and that's kind of what they had done. And then they just failed to do it that time for a variety of reasons. And this is where, Colton Wright had come on and said, look, I want to fall my sword. It was my fault. I failed to do this. Staff goofed it up. He goofed it up. Everybody goofed it up. The weird thing is that they apparently didn't realize that it was Rutherford at the time until they saw the score. She's like, oh, wait, what? Because three of them had picked Caldwell as the top one. Okay, so that's just like brief backdrop. And now Anna Railing is saying, y'all ought to resign because this is terrible. And, Commissioner Calkins, made a 10-minute speechify yesterday about this. I am not going to play it all, but I just want to give you a bit of the tone.
After July 27th, Commissioner Sam Parker brought this item to the agenda regarding modifying the bid proposals. I would say that the term modify is the same thing as rigging. I think that the July 27th meeting was an effort to rig it for the company that the board felt should have won the first time, but didn't have the votes.
So two interesting things are going on here. First of all, modify and rig are not the same. Modify can be legitimate. Rigging, obviously, connotes that it is illegitimate, surreptitious, deceitful, unethical, whatever. Rig the election, right? This kind of thing. And the second thing, so there is very much a difference of whether it's appropriate to have changed the voting results or not. Again, what I would say, okay, my read of the situation is that James Caulkins tried to rig the outcome. And what the commissioners did in response was to undo what he had tried to rig. So he's pissed off because they unrigged his rigging, if you want to think of it that way. He clearly tried to tank Caldwell, but there's a lot in this, okay? The other part of this is he is now very publicly saying that the county did something wrong. And if I am a law firm looking to sue on behalf of Rutherford, Columbus Rutherford, I'm using everything James Caulkins says against the county. So he is now actively supplying vehemence, okay, to what might, he even warns us, might be an anti-county lawsuit. Now, I don't think that they have good grounds to say they've got, but I mean, there's grounds enough to start. I don't know that they would win. I don't think they would win, but there's grounds enough to start, okay? Anytime you're winning a bid and then you're losing a bid, there's obviously the possibility of a lawsuit. Okay, back to the comments. So he makes a big deal out of the comment made by Kerry Smith and me that his five vote for Caldwell was a big outlier. Because they had all ranked Caldwell number one, number one, number one, number two, but it had started off as number one for Kerry Smith, and he scratched it out and switched his mind. And then Caulkins votes at a number five. And he says, well, I don't understand how that's an outlier. You know, Kerry Smith made the comparison to gymnastics. You know, like you've got the Swedish judge gives him a big plus, and the Russian judge gives him a negative, and you ought to drop out the outliers, okay? So James Caulkins tries responding to that yesterday.
Commissioner Wright kept making an issue out of me ranking Caldwell number five. Well, if you review the rankings, you'll notice that Commissioner Sam Parker ranked HOK number five, and nobody on this board ranked HOK number five. So if you want to say that there's some kind of outlier, I would say Commissioner Parker's vote was an outlier. I believe he has a right to rank that number five. Also,
okay, just because I don't want to get past the facts and analysis here, okay, he's correct. HOK was ranked number five by Commissioner Parker. And so there's something different about that. Of course, on a board of five where they're ranking five, there might be several where only one person ranks it that way. But Eddington, Wright, both voted a three. Smith voted a four. And the only one to put it in his top two was Caulkins. So it's a little bit low of a ranking, but if the way I looked at these scores were grouped as top two and bottom three, and HOK was in the bottom three. So it's not really an outlier over the pattern. It's only an outlier in that it's the only one that happens to be a five. And that's the big issue. Remember, what Caulkins did with Caldwell is took what everybody else thought was the best one, except that Kerry Smith scratched out and went with number two, and he voted at the absolute worst. That's what makes it such an outlier. But he continued. He's trying to make this case. He's failing the logic exam right now, but that's okay.
Mr. Chairman, Colton Wright ranked Sam Marshall number five. Nobody on this board, not a single person, ranked Sam Marshall number five. So I can make an argument that that was an outlier.
You could make that argument. It'd be a bad argument compared to you ranking the best one a number five because Sam Marshall was ranked 4-3-3-3-5. Okay? It's a little bit low. But again, if you've got five commissioners ranking five firms, they're not going to all rank every firm the exact same number. And again, I think they cluster into the bottom three and the top two. So he's flailing to make any explanation that he wants. But okay, let's even grant his point. Grant his point. The two that he outlines by Parker and Wright, let's call them outliers. That was the point Kerry Smith was making. Maybe you eliminate the top and the bottom vote in each group to avoid the possibility of bias, like they do in gymnastics or ice skating or anything else, right? Or diving, okay? Anyway, going on, he says, you know, you have the right to be an outlier, and I would say that's true. You do. You have the authority as a county commissioner. Everybody else has the authority. You can see it differently. But when everybody else says this one's number one and one person says one, scratch out two, and you rank it a five, you have an obligation to justify that vote. And since we have a plausible, non-decent, non-valid reason for him to have tanked the review personally for personal animus reasons, we're really looking for an explanation. You know, what was your justification? I was irritated because the commissioners know this is a need, and they didn't ask for it. Nobody asked him, well, can you justify your vote for Caldwell? And he didn't offer it. Which, by the way, when you know you're justified in doing something, that's what you offer. I'm completely justified in ranking this number five, and here's why. They did this, they did this, they did this, and that's why. But he doesn't do that. That's what an innocent person does. A person who has a sort of a guilty mind, knows they were trying to get away with something, they get loud and they start talking about how everybody else is rigging the bids and everybody else is doing this terrible, immoral behavior and everybody else is responsible for making the county look bad and making things stink to high heaven.
The board does have a right to change the $12 million project, but I think this absolutely stinks. It looks bad.
And he goes on to talk about how Lane Lynchard set up this system, but they did not follow the system that they normally followed in the past. And it's kind of funny because Colton Wright even had Sabrina White, the deputy budget director, get up there and explain, no, we didn't follow the normal system that we do. And it got into funniness after that. We'll get into that. But in the end, they're ignoring this because it doesn't. He's not actually accomplishing anything other than making the grandstand. And they're going to move ahead with it's a codification of the way they had done it before, but it's just, this is how we're going to do RFQs in the future. This is going to be our policy that we're going to follow from here on out. Trust me, there's more drama here, but I wanted you to have the facts before we get to the rest of the show, where we're going to deal with some of the more entertaining elements of the, and we haven't even gotten there yet. It's just, that's set up. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
This is the time of year when team spirit takes center stage. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech of Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. This time of year, folks living in the South naturally turn their interest towards supporting their favorite football team. Everyone loves a championship team, and in recent years, we've had our share of those. We like to think we've built a championship team when it comes to serving your heating and air conditioning needs. We go the extra mile to deliver honest, courteous service and top-of-the-line products at a fair price. So no matter whose team you're pulling for, choose the championship team of Climatech of Professional Air for your home's heating and cooling needs. Climatech of Professional Air.
Climatech, Climatech. Heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way, offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Score a direct hit.
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you hot again today. Hot. Really hot. Really, 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 really hot. The numbers, as Joseph Neubauer says, don't really matter. It's hot. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump's legal team pushing back against a request for a protective order in the election interference case. The Department of Justice filed for that order, asking the judge to place limits on Trump's speech about the case after a recent Truth Social post. A hearing on the matter expected to take place no later than Friday.
Can we pause for just a second? Because I think this is a pretty important story. The judge is concerned, or the judge is true because he issued the order. The judge and the other counsel are concerned that the information, which is to some degree privileged but must be disclosed to Trump's attorneys, they're worried that he is going to use that or weaponize that against potentially intimidating witnesses or bringing out information into the public that's really not supposed to be in the public. And so it's kind of a gag order on, hey, we have to show this stuff to your lawyers, but you can't say this stuff outside the courtroom. Some of this is very normal in a court proceeding. The problem is that Trump, as a defendant, has proven himself to be well more than willing, you know, to disclose information, to publish things, and to say things in order to try to, you know, attack anybody he sees as a threat to him, you know, and to intimidate witnesses and other things. That's kind of a pattern for him. So that's the background. Now, they say they're trying to control political speech about a case that's all about political speech. And so they're restricting the First Amendment on a case that is fundamentally about the First Amendment. That's his lawyer's argument. So I think sometimes it doesn't get explained a lot in detail, and I think it's actually some pretty important issues in the case. Sorry about that, David. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how everything falls in that case. There's some concern in Washington now after 11 Russian and Chinese warships carried out an operation near Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The Navy sent some destroyers to respond to shadow that fleet before it left the area, and those ships never entered U.S. territory. And
sent 11, we sent 4.
That's right. We weren't outnumbered at all. Home prices up. New report from Black Knight says home prices are up another 0.8% in June, but that's after they'd been dropping for several months. Prices hit record levels in about 60% of major housing markets across the country.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next home or, you know, selling, maybe not. I don't know what you're planning on doing, but you're thinking about buying one maybe for the first time. Christina Leavenworth, a great resource to check in with when you're thinking about either buying or selling. And we talk a lot about her on the selling side, but to me, the fact that she's so prolific and effective at selling homes is the reason you want her on the buying side because, you know, it's like, I don't know, who would you want negotiating for you when it comes to buying, you know, a yacht? You know, well, you want somebody who sells a lot of yachts, right? Because they know the market. They know what happens in the process. Same thing. She knows what sellers are looking for. She knows what's going to happen in the market. She knows how to negotiate against other people, what the price really should be for the home. And so that expertise comes to you, especially like if you're buying for the first time and you've never done this before, it can be scary and it's all like, oh, I don't know. Well, you know, she's going to take you through all those issues. So give her a call and just get her input on whether now is the right time for you and exactly what you think you can get for or what you can, you know, find for the price range that you're looking at. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I'm not getting into that. That's a good story, but I will get into that later. Oh, we've got a self-described Marxist who's the head of the American Library Association, and she's surprised that several states have now voted to disassociate with the American Library Association. Just like, oh, isn't it great that a Marxist lesbian can be the head of the ALA for the first time ever? And you got several states voted, yep, we're not funding your organization anymore because we don't think that we ought to be part of an organization that is fundamentally anti-American. Not because she's gay, but because she's openly Marxist. I thought the funny thing about this story is she's so completely befuddled. Why would anybody think this is weird? Who do you hang around with that not just you're a Marxist, but you think that that's normal enough that nobody's going to have a problem with it? Sweetie.
Fox News, MCJ Papa, former Vice President Mike Pence says he's qualified for the first Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 23rd, broadcast exclusively on the Fox News channel. Pence called out his old boss, saying hopefully former President Trump has the courage to show up. Severe storms ravaging parts of the nation. Sound of fury in Knoxville. Gusty winds, heavy rain lashing many areas from Tennessee all the way up the East Coast. Some people waking up this morning without power. Voters go to the polls in Ohio today, a special election on rules to amend the state constitution, which could decide the fate of abortion. The polls opening this hour. The price of gas stays at $3.82 for regular, up 4 cents from a week ago, but almost up 30 cents in the last month. That from AAA. Diesel checks in at $4.20, up 2 cents overnight. America listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it is 83 degrees, that heat index already pushing up towards triple digits this morning. And the National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings for Northwest Florida again today. Heat index values up to 115 expected this afternoon. National Weather Service does advise drinking a lot of fluids, staying in air conditioning if possible, and if you have relatives or neighbors that you may want to check on them. We'll get more with Channel 3 in just a couple of minutes. Santa Rosa County leaders moving forward with a plan to repurpose an owned drug house in Gulf Breeze. They want to turn it into an affordable housing unit.
We would work with the different potential folks that would do that, such as, you know, Habitat for Humanity. There's been a couple of that have reached out in the past, and then we would utilize that piece of property to build an affordable housing unit on.
Assistant County Administrator Brad Baker there says the Board of Commissioners plan to vote on the plan this Thursday. The property at 5912 Congress Street was seized by the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office in February after 32-year-old Damian Cleish was arrested on drug trafficking charges. The Attorney General's office will be waiving contraband forfeiture fees if the property is committed to affordable housing. Well, school is back in session starting this coming Thursday, and Escambia County is still trying to fully staff all their bus routes.
We figured out a way that we can get those 12 vacant routes covered for the first day, but we really, really need at least 12 people. We really would be happier with 20 or 30, but we would be squared up on the day one if we had 12 more.
Escambia School District Transportation Director Darlene Hart telling Channel 3 that in order to get by, route managers, mechanics, and food service employees are all going to be stepping in as bus drivers. She says it likely won't affect high school and middle school students as much, but elementary students may be a little bit late getting back to their stops, at least the first few days of school. And if you're going to be driving in Century the next few days, you might see some delays over on North Century Boulevard. Traffic there being shifted into one lane each for north and southbound traffic. It's going to be from Hattie's Boulevard to East Cottage Street. It's part of a $4.7 million Highway 29 project. FDOT crews are going to be working for the next several months on drainage improvements in that area. And the complete project will also include new traffic lights, pavement markings, driveways, curb ramps, sidewalks. It's all expected to last through January of next year. 5:30 Ford News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be another hot and humid day today. Heat advisory in effect. Temperatures near 96 degrees for your high, feeling more like the triple digits. 50% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm through the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Staying warm as we go into Wednesday with a high near 95. 30% chance of a stray shower. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 83 in Pensacola. That heat index already at 99 degrees today. Gulf Breeze 85 right now. Milton 84. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So you and me, we've been hanging out now. Ever since we were kids, just kicking around.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we wound up being sort of in the news yesterday a little bit because of an interview that we did yesterday morning with Jonathan Owens, the former chief of staff for Doug Underhill. Channel 3 was featuring some of the audio from that interview yesterday, having to do with the PNJ story that came out early Monday morning about the text messages, 60,000 or so text messages that had apparently come from Jeff Bergosh's, Commissioner Jeff Bergosh's cell phone, and wound up in the possession of Jonathan Owens, who ran against him in District 1 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, 3 years. I have to do the math. Where are we at in the election cycle? So anyway, we talked with Jonathan, and apparently there's an FBI investigation into all of this. So very, very interesting story. We talked about this yesterday with Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, you know, just when you think it's, you know, all the problems are over here. Scamby's like, hold my beer. tell me, you tell me, what is the backdrop to this story? How did we get to where we are now? where there's an investigation and all kinds of other stuff going. Tell me what you know and tell me how we got here.
Well, gosh, it's so much to put in a short show for you. Like you said, hold my beer. Scambia County will come through again for you. The medical director, obviously, as you referenced, the article has a lawsuit going, and I was asked for a statement or an affidavit to provide to Dr. Edler's attorneys, and I did. And in that statement and after that statement, there was a conversation about any other information related to the case at all. I said, well, you know, I have a thumb drive that showed up in my office that has lots of public records on them, and they seem to be from Commissioner Burgosh's personal cell phone. So I sent them over to Dr. Edler's attorneys, and that was sometime last year. I don't remember the exact date. And then that was really much it. Didn't really think much more about it. Well, fast forward, and here we are. Jim Little's writing an article about that, and all kinds of motions and things have been filed in the case to try to block Dr. Edler's attorneys from using those public records, and that's pretty much how we got to where we are today. This thumb drive showed up in my office sometime last year when I was still an employee of the county. I assumed it showed up in several people's offices. As things showed up over the years of the 8 years that I worked with the Board of County Commissioners, I mean, we had file folders show up of negative things against political activists. We've had, as you probably famously remember, a box showed up for Commissioner Burgosh of as a prank.
Yeah.
We had all kinds of things that showed up in the office. I don't know if we could have that conversation on your morning show if we want to keep it PG. But anyway, things showed up over the years. So I assume this showed up in my office just like it showed up in other people's offices. So to me, it was something showed up in the office. It was a public record. And that was it. So that's how we got to where we are today. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of text messages on there after me going through them. In relation to county business, things that conversations during meetings between individuals.
I'm curious. So you have this thumb drive shows up with what appear to be what would be public records, anything that would be on Jeff Burgosh's personal cell phone that would be talking about county business, right? Anything that's dealing with any personal matter that's unrelated to county business is a private record, but anything that would be dealing with, for example, Ramey Edler's employment or OLF-8 or hiring and firing decisions, anything along those lines that would be from anybody that would deal with county business, that would be a public record. So you tell me if I'm wrong, it's a mixture of public records and private records on his phone. Is that right? At least that's what you thought 100%. It was.
Yes, 100%. That is, it's a mixture of public and private records.
So how did it come to exist in the first place? Because I'm confident Jeff Burgosh didn't just come to your office and give you a copy of his phone. So.
Right. I have no idea. A thumb drive showed up in my office, and that's what I know. That's how it came into existence.
Okay, so.
At least in my possession. I mean, like I said, it could have shown up in everyone's office,
right?
Because, like I said, we've had folders show up in our offices over the years of people wanting to get information out to the public, and I guess it was up to each individual commissioner's office whether to disregard it or do something with it.
Yeah, and what did you do with it? I mean, when you got it, you apparently opened it and read it. I'm very curious to know what you saw. But what did you do at that point? I mean, did you contact IT? Did you contact law enforcement? Did you just hang on to it? Did you what did you do at that point?
I just held on to it.
Okay. I'm dying to know what's on it.
There's no policy.
I'm going to definitely make a public records request to get a copy because you know, anything that's done on the
I'm sure
anything that's done on the phone is a public record. Commissioner Bergosh says, I guess in this article, he said that he brought his phone. It was his personal phone in. He brought the phone in for work by a county IT before he was going on a vacation because the phone had been acting up and he wanted to make sure. This is his account from Jim Little, is that, you know, he wanted to make sure those public records were preserved, you know, and not just at the whim of him being having them on his phone when he's overseas or whatever. So he recognizes that they're public records, you know, to the extent that you believe that particular account of it, that would at least validate the fact that they are public records. Why does the county want to prohibit them? I mean, if they're public records, what's the issue?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea why they would want to prohibit them, other than, you know, there may be some things in there that are detrimental to other things that are county related.
Okay.
I don't know. It will be interesting to see how the judge rules in this, because it's really similar to a previous case of county records against the guy I used to work with, former commissioner.
Yep.
It will be interesting to see.
Talking about this case that the PNJ has a good story on this morning of the public records on Jeff Bergosh's personal cell phone that were somehow or other delivered to Jonathan Owens when he worked for Commissioner Underhill at the county, and now have been brought up in the Ramey Edler lawsuit against the county, and the county is trying to squash those records for reasons that we're still not quite sure about. Jonathan, I kind of interrupted you. You were about to say something, though. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Commissioner Bergosh at the time thanked county staff in a meeting publicly on February 10th for recovering his personal phone, and he claimed responsibility for it, you know, thanks to county staff. So he used county resources, county employees to recover his personal phone, and all of those records on it, in my opinion, of course, it's not up to me to have an opinion that, you know, that's legal. They all became public record when you used county resources. I mean, this would be the equivalent of saying I got my oil changed on my car because I was using county business. Now, you and I and anybody else in the public would say, well, that's not right. But, you know, when I first started at the county attorney Allison Rogers told me, she said, it's not the vehicle of which you receive a public record, but the content of that record is whether it's a public record or not. So
right, right.
Whether it was on his personal phone or county phone or on a piece of paper, on a bar napkin, on whatever, it became a public record. I mean, the whole drive, in my opinion, became a public record when it showed up in my office. I mean, how could it not be? It was in my office.
Right.
So
how did so the story mentions the FBI, and Jeff Bergosh says he doesn't want to comment because there's an active investigation. I mean, has the FBI contacted you?
No. The only person who has contacted me is the IT director, current IT director, Scott McDonald, asking me about this thumb drive. And I said, you know, he said, how did I get it? And I'm telling you the same story I would tell him or anyone else. It showed up in my office. And that's it. That's how I ended up with this. So
why is the FBI
no
involved?
Contacted me.
I mean, this doesn't sound like an FBI issue to me, but I don't know. Maybe something I'm missing.
Well, many people have many different opinions on the FBI.
That's fair.
You watch national news.
Yeah.
And that's no way a slight against them in any way. But why the FBI would be involved in something as minuscule as this, based on the filings by Commissioner Bergosh and what the article says, is that I obtained these things illegally. So I'm assuming, and this is an assumption, that a complaint was filed with the FBI or law enforcement or FDLE or someone that these files were illegally removed from a county server. That's a guess.
Okay.
That would, in my opinion, that would be the only way that law enforcement would be involved in this, that something was illegally removed. Well, I mean, I had nothing to do with anything illegal.
You just received the, you received the thumb. Yeah. All right. So the question I've been delaying asking, what's on them? What does it say about what kind of county business is being done on Jeff Bergosh's phone? Which, by the way, I think most every elected official, may not be all, but most every elected official does some degree of business, official business, on their personal cell phone. Just these days, it seems impossible to avoid. But the point is, you're supposed to turn that over. That's supposed to become a public record. And at the very least, if anybody asks, you're supposed to provide it, right? That's sort of the basics of where we are.
Right. And I went through that whilst working with Commissioner Bergosh at the time. I mean, there's an active lawsuit right now over Facebook messages that David Baer has filed against Commissioner Underhill, former Commissioner Underhill,
right,
in regards to the contents of his text message, or I'm sorry, the context of his Facebook message.
Right.
So if those are considered public records, public business on Commissioner Bergosh's personal cell phone are definitely considered public records. And to your point, what all is on there? I would say do a public records request ask the county for any of the communications on Commissioner Bergosh's cell phone having to do with county business. I mean, that's
all right.
Well, I'm not the one that should determine what public records are, right?
No, and that's fair, right? That's, you know, there might be privilege, there might be certainly personal, you would expect. There might be things that, you know, are legally protected. There's all kinds of categories of information, and that would, I assume, be up to the county attorney to make that decision. But, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely call Allison later today and, you know, make the request, and then, you know, she'll give me what we get, and we'll find out from there. Okay. All right.
I will tell you this. There are communications between Commissioner Bergosh and a former county employee on there that ended up getting a lawsuit and a settlement that is also currently in the news right now in regards to Pam Childers.
Hmm. Okay.
The payment for
the ICMA thing.
The payment for the settlement for Silver.
Oh, the Silver case. Okay. All right.
Yep. So there is communication, lots of communication between Commissioner Bergosh and Salober, the former county employee, in those text messages.
All right. Well, we'll without being able to get more at the moment, we'll get more when we get the records request fulfilled, assuming that we can get it. Jonathan Owens, interesting stuff, the FBI. All right. Jonathan, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the time this morning, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
Yeah, sometimes you just kind of like look at a story and you think, well, where is this going to go? You know, we'll see.
So weird.
It's weird. And by the way, you know, I know Commissioner Bergosh spoke on Channel 3 about, you know, some people don't really understand what a public record is, what a public record isn't. And he's right, by the way, that, you know, just because it was on your business phone doesn't mean that it's a public record, although we typically treat it as such. You wouldn't do personal, but, you know, he even said, you know, when he's communicating with his brother, that his brother, the judge, gives him legal advice, which, you know, if I had a brother who was a judge, I'd want legal advice from him, too. I mean, that makes sense.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's, you know, typically going to be privileged information. I can think of circumstances where it might not quite be privileged. It sort of might depend. But, yeah, he's right that, you know, talking to your family on your private phone is obviously not a public record, but talking to, you know, if you talk to your family about a vote upcoming, you know, then it might become a public record. So it's really the subject matter, not the mechanism by which you have the conversation. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
Work, kids, finances. Your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
I am Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. As summer winds down, we are gearing up for another great season of Argo football at UWF. Join us on August 10th as we discuss the upcoming football schedule, predictions for the season, and the many ways you can experience UWF football with your friends and family. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Football season is fast approaching, and football fans are some of the most loyal fans you can find. We have all the games that the football fanatics will be hearing this season. Put your business in front of all of these consumers. Support the teams and fans like the Florida State Seminoles, UWF Argo football team, the Friday night tradition of high school football, as well as the top NCAA and NFL football games all season long. Jump into the season and make your business score with our very affordable packages. Call us today at 850-262-6000.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Oh, Baxter, you are my little gentleman.
Is, you know, how we've been talking with we talked to Mike Wood about this, and also with Sheriff Bob Johnson about, you know, how they went from revolvers to semi-automatic pistols.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, force. That was funny.
And I kid you not, there's a story just came in yesterday about a guy in Escambia County who was threatening somebody else's life. Kind of, it looks like an attempted carjacking situation, and he went to shoot him, and the gun jammed. So, you know, it's a, and he tried to unjam it and rechamber around, but the guy got away in the process, thank goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they found the guy, you know, they arrested the guy later, and, right. You know, he'd thrown the weapon away, and it was found loaded or whatever. But, you know, I don't know, it seems like an odd coincidence that here we are talking about, you know, the switch from one type of firearm to the other, and the revolvers don't misfire. And, I mean, I suppose there's some rare circumstance where it might, but generally almost never, whereas a semi-automatic at least sometimes will. And, you know, you have to know how to handle that. So, I don't know, it's just an odd coincidence that us talking about that and this story happened at the same time.
Weird. Never happens unless it's in the movie.
I know. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Two U.S. military veterans have died after a drone strike in Ukraine. Former U.S. Marine Lance Lawrence and former Army officer Andrew Weber were both killed July 29th. They were fighting in an operation against Russian forces. So far, at least 14 American citizens have died fighting in Ukraine. Voters in Ohio are headed to the polls today for a special election. The issue on their ballot would make it more difficult to amend the Ohio Constitution by raising the threshold for approval on amendments to 60% instead of the current simple majority. And there's a new Google Alert tool that can tell you when you appear in search results. Google says it can help you remove personal information from the internet. It's called the Google Dashboard. Apparently, it's an improvement on a previous tool they had called Results About You. That they released to help users remove entries that contain their personal information. Google says, though, removing the Google result doesn't wipe it from the internet. You have to go to the website itself.
Yeah, well, true. And then, you know, when it recrawls, if it does, then, you know, I suppose it might repopulate unless they program it not to. But, yeah, that's true. The underlying website has to go away if you're really going to clean that information off. Good point, David. Thanks so much for the – oh, by the way, just, you know, we were talking about the whole issue of guns jamming or whatever. You know, you were in the military, obviously. Yeah, did they ever train you on how to handle when a gun jams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Core skill, right?
I had the M4 issued to me that decided to jam up about every 8 rounds for the whole entirety of the time I had it. It was awful.
Wow. Yeah. And that's always a fun experience.
It is.
You're in the middle of needing to shoot your weapon and ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh.
Hold on here.
Yeah, wait a minute. Pause now.
That's when you could wish you could do the Saved by the Bell thing. Zach Morris, time out.
Time out. Time out. Got it. I got to figure this out. That's funny. David, thanks for the update. 559 on News Radio 92.3. Time out. That's great. Oh, my goodness. We have Governor DeSantis did a sit-down interview with NBC. We'll talk about that coming up. Longleaf Bridge update. I'll tell you, I went by yesterday to see how close they are to having all of that finished. And, oh, there is more drama out of Escambia County and Santa Rosa County. We'll get to all of that coming up next hour. Stick around.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.